From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for December 22nd, 2023. Sunday is Christmas Eve, and the Packers are working. I thought they had a better union than that. They're in Carolina with the Panthers, and the Bucks are spending Christmas in New York City with the Knicks. They have back-to-back games Saturday morning, then again Christmas morning. They'll have to wait till after the game to open their presents. Today's story sounds like a police blotter. No good deed goes unpunished. A Vancouver man who opened a store selling heroin, meth, and coke was arrested one day after opening his shop. The shop is in the neighborhood devastated by drug overdoses. He said he just wanted the locals to have a safe supply of drugs that were free of fentanyl. The cops weren't that understanding. A Florida man stole an ambulance and drove it right to the front of a police station. The cops said the ambulance thief was experiencing an altered mental state. That's shorthand for he was high. Three gun-toting thieves robbed a check-cashing business in Colorado, but before they could make their escape, someone stole their getaway car, which they stole prior to the robbery. Talk about bad karma. And finally, my favorite story of the week, a Taiwanese man is arrested at the airport for smuggling otters in his underwear. How is that even possible? On the podcast today, we have four people wearing, I'm assuming, otter-free underwear.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Here's Art Rothschild, Mike Helzel, Joel Driesing, and wrapping up the week, here's Kyle Tedding.
Otters, Max? Plural otters?
more than one.
Otter-eye? Otters is correct. A good week overall for the markets. The NASDAQ up 1.2%, closing at 14,993 at the bell on Friday. The S&P 500 up 35 points. That's 0.8% for the week, closing at 47.55. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average, despite down 19 points on Friday, a positive week overall, up 0.2%. 81 points for the week, closing at 37.386. For the year, including dividends, the NASDAQ up a stellar 44.4% with four trading days left. The S&P 500 up 25.9, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 15.2. You know, Art, maybe a good place to start. You were on a couple of weeks ago talking about what had been a pretty exciting stretch of positive weeks. That stretch continues.
Yeah, we went from 3 weeks at that point to 8 weeks at this point. This is a tremendous market. It's a tremendous rally, and it's being powered this time by, I think, some very legitimate economic drivers. And not to mention the Fed. We're always on Fed watch. So we got very good figures, and Joel will go into this, I'm sure, but on inflation this week, consumers are still spending. We're going to have a nice Christmas. In the markets, again, we're in record territory with the Dow now for several weeks or sessions at least. We're getting pretty close to where the S&P was, and that's the irony here. We're just getting back to where we were a couple of years ago before all this started. And we're talking again and continue to be talking about a soft landing. This time, it's not higher for longer. The market has now believes that the Fed will have to lower interest rates, which they're looking forward to. And stocks, again, across the board, continue to move higher. So it's a tremendous environment for long-term investors. The speculators, I'm not even going to talk about, but another good week.
Well, Joel, maybe let's talk about that higher for longer and why maybe we're finally starting to get a bit of a pivot from the Fed. Certainly in the last Fed meeting, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago now, it was quite obvious that the Fed is open to the idea of cutting rates maybe early in the year next year. But more importantly, we got personal consumption expenditure numbers this week that potentially give the Fed the ammunition they need to follow through on some of that change in language.
Kyle, that personal consumption expenditures index, that's the Fed's favorite number to look at when they're talking about the inflation rate. And they're looking, remember, for a long-term target of 2%. Last summer of 2022, yeah, that's last summer, we were at 7.1%. And in numbers that we got today from the Fed, we're at 2.6%. So that's a lot closer to 2% than 7.1%. So they've been, you know, the Fed's raised interest rates with the hope of slowing down the economy so that inflation rate would go down. And so we're getting close. We're not there yet. That's still, you know, above 2%, but we're a lot closer. We also had the Fed's latest update on gross domestic product. That's for the third quarter. And there we saw that the economy is indeed slowing, but it is still growing. So there's that soft landing that everybody's talking about, where we're hoping that inflation rate comes down and that it's not going to crash the economy, that the economy is still growing. And by those numbers, the economy grew at a 4.9% pace in the third quarter. That was revised down from a 5.2 in an earlier estimate. And like I said, that's still pretty healthy. That's the best quarter since the end of 2021.
And, you know, at least for now, Mike, maybe that soft landing is still in order for the Fed, the hope that we've all had for so long that we can slow inflation without really completely damaging the economy, as so often happens in these interest rate cycles. And yet the Fed may be a little less willing to hang that mission accomplished banner, perhaps a sign that the Fed's language now becomes more important than even the action.
Yeah, you're going to have to read the tea leaves with what they say, right? And a lot of Fed governors like to talk a lot, and they like to get their names out there. And so sometimes you get, you're just going to have to read the tea leaves with things, because they cannot say, and I believe I've said this before, they cannot say mission accomplished, because then that defeats a lot of the work that they've done to get to this point. If you kind of recall how we got here, they were a little late to the game and were kind of dragged over the coals for it, rightfully, at that time. But since then, they've done a pretty good job of telegraphing what they're doing in terms of rate hikes and kind of preparing us for the soft landing. A lot of them saw it coming when a lot of the media said it was impossible. So you have to give them credit that they saw it coming. And as Joel said, it's very kind of, I should say, piggybacking on what Joel said, it's very interesting to see people now talking about worrying about the crash that's coming. That, and I know this is an audio medium, so if this was a visual one, you'd see me using air quotes with crash. But as I said, we're kind of back to the point where we, like, the high watermark of where we were back in the start of 2022. So if we're having a soft landing with the economy still growing but at a slower pace, which again isn't a bad thing, and stocks have room to run because we've just made back what we've lost, I think things are looking very good for the markets in the 2024.
And are perhaps some fuel for the Santa Claus rally, right? Maybe those hoping to see the jolly old fellow are going to get what they wish for.
Yeah, I was concerned that the Grinch might show up, you know, 5 weeks ago when we were talking, but at this point, it's pretty clear that Santa Claus is coming to town. Today was the first day of the 5-day period that starts this Santa Claus rally period. There's the last 5 trading days of the year, the first 2 of the next year. It's 7 or 8, 90% of the time or 100% of the time, stocks go up in this time period. If they don't, we have a problem. And it is really setting us up well, you know, for that Santa Claus rally. I'd be shocked if it doesn't happen. Again, it's not a real indicator. It's simply something that's happened before. But the conditions, I think, are right. The animal spirits are out there. People are, you know, buying. The economy's growing. And quite frankly, I think I'm doubtful that the Fed has to, and they know they don't have to, lower rates anytime soon. So the market may have gotten a little ahead of itself in pricing in 3 or 6 or whatever, you know, declines in interest rates going forward. But definitely, I think we can get through, you know, the holidays.
Art, I wrote down a little something that I saw that you had said earlier today about all the speculation of over when the Fed is going to cut the rates and how soon. You said, I have never seen as much speculation on a topic of such insignificance.
Yeah.
Why is that insignificant?
Well, that's a great question, Joel. I'll tell you why. This is my thinking on it. What is much more important, I think, is the yield on the 10-year Treasury. And my concern is that that might have gotten a little ahead of itself in declining. I think it's got to go down further. I want a normal yield curve. We have an inverted yield curve. So right now, interest rates are higher than they would be if you don't want to constrain growth. So when the Fed is ready, you know, they can lower interest rates. But I'm a little concerned. If I were them, I'd be concerned right now about lowering rates too quickly, because the markets themselves have provided stimulus, you know, to this economy, and people could drive prices up by spending too much too soon. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but
no, you did, yeah.
But yeah, short-term rates, I think the Fed has to lower rates at some point because they're artificially high and constraining. But I'd be very cautious in doing it too quickly, you know, as Mike alluded to before.
I think you hit on something perfect, Art, about like kind of over-exuberance. And I know I talk a lot kind of about the psychology of the investor here, but when Jerome Powell spoke last time, it was the first time, I think, probably in almost 2 years, that investors were like, oh, okay, we're not going into the Great Depression, for the people that thought that, right? And it just kind of spurred them on. Like, he hit every note they wanted to hear. And so some people probably got out a little bit over their skis. But as you stated, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to have a bad 2024. I just think some people really kind of jumped in full feet, like both feet in, when they heard him talk, because they've just been waiting for so long to hear anything like that positive in the markets. Because we've kind of been walking on eggshells for quite a while about the discussion of when the Fed's going to cut, what's going on with the market, are we going into a recession, is it just a slowdown, all that stuff. And so when he spoke, I got so many calls from clients, is it time to go all in now? And we had to have the conversation, which we didn't. I mean, we didn't go all in, but you could just see a lot of investors just jumping back in after he spoke. So I think you're right to kind of be aware that there might have been a little overeagerness on the part of some people.
Well, and of course, that is it time to go all in now speaks to that greater fear of, well, I've already missed quite a bit. How much more am I going to miss? And so, you know, I think you look at the move we've seen in the 10-year U.S. Treasury down back in the 3.9 range, which, surprise, surprise, is almost exactly where we started the year. And yet shorter term rates north of 5.25. Well, I think you look at the ladder, the short term rates, and you go, well, that's strictly controlled by the Fed. It's the Fed putting their foot on the brake of the economy, while the markets more broadly control those longer dated rates. And they're saying, you know, if the Fed doesn't act soon, it's going to get a lot worse. But more importantly, if they do act, it doesn't have to be much. You know, we're not going back to zero anytime soon, unless the economy looks drastically different. And so I think, you know, Art, to your earlier point, the 10-year Treasury is the one to watch. It signaled that, yeah, things are going to slow down a little more from here, but we're not back to an environment in which the 10-year's back at 1.5. We're back to where we started the year, which was, I think, a pretty happy place to be for longer dated rates.
Yeah, it does beg the question of what is normal, you know, ultimately. And I do think if inflation is at 2, which is where the Fed wants it to be, I mean, the shock is that they're going to get there. Then the yield on the 10-year, maybe 3.5 or 4. So we're getting pretty close to where we should ultimately be. And it really, again, what's driving this economy is the strength of the American consumer. Whether we're buying something for our homes or whether we're traveling, we're spending money. This is the strongest economy in the world. I'm more concerned about the rest of the world than I am about us. China has a weakening economy. And this consumer-driven economy, we've just proven that this works over here. I am a little bit concerned about the coming year. It's an election year, which is usually good for the market. But you do have some cross currents of, you know, debt issues. You know, are we going to pay our bills or not? We've got world wars, you know, or two of them, potential world wars in Europe and in the Middle East that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen there. Last year, we had a banking crisis in March that brought the markets down. So we never know what lies ahead. But coming back to this question of should we jump in or shouldn't we don't want to have to answer that question, because we want to be appropriately invested for long periods of time. And that's what we do. We're coaches. We're counselors. And so we are commenting on a regular basis as to what's going on. But that's just the you know, medium within which we're helping our clients achieve their long-term objectives by staying invested. So it's nice to know that we're ending the year well, and I hope we have a good year, But every day, you're getting the question, I'm getting the question, hey, what's going to happen next year? Nobody knows.
We can place our bet on what history tells us, which is more often than not, markets go up. You measure within the year. Yeah, okay, maybe we're wrong, but you give it enough time, as you say, and properly allocated, odds are you're going to make some money. And so I think that's really the key, is how do we get the courage to get through whatever an election year, which certainly I think this one in particular looks a little daunting. How do you get through that without too much uncertainty? Joel, a couple of other data points this week caught my eye, in particular the economic data on housing, such a key piece of the overall economy. Certainly part of the kind of inflation problems we've had is some housing pricing, and yet maybe some signs of a little bit better news in some areas of the housing market.
Yeah, Kyle, I think so. There were numbers on housing starts and building permits, and if you look at the single family aspect of those, the single family houses, those were looking pretty good, but better than the overall numbers. The single family housing accounts for a lot of the housing market, and that's the part of the housing market that we see a lot of other sorts of ripple effects in, as far as families buying appliances and furniture and all of those sorts of things. So that was encouraging. Remember that mortgage rates were above 7% from August until earlier this month, and the National Association of Realtors now thinks that now that it's below 7%, that that's going to start getting more people to buy houses and as you and I were just discussing earlier, to move out of houses. So they're looking, you know, more homeowners who want to move can try to find some more creative mortgage rates to make it more affordable for them to move and free up some of the housing that's been in short supply.
And of course, the housing market is more than just new homes, and existing homes are a big part of that. And to your point, if we've got more available, if there's more formation of new inventory, you hope that that coupled with a little bit of a lower mortgage rate now that the 10-year come down might paint a slightly different picture come spring when it's time for all those homeowners to start looking again. And maybe the housing market's one of the pieces that helps to kind of stabilize an economy that's slowed a little and kind of remind us that, no, the Fed has really accomplished the objective, at least so far. With that, we enjoy doing the program for you. We will talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.